Welcome this morning. Good to see all of our members here, and thank you, honored guests, for being here. And if you're visiting with us, thank you for choosing your time to spend your worship hour with us. And if you are in the area looking for a church home, this is a great place to be a part of. And if anything that we can do for you or things we could inform you about, please stick around and let us know those needs. And anybody in the body, this is a time for us to share our requests one with another. If there's any way that we can be a blessing, offer a prayer, provide any resource or anything that we can do for you, let us know. And there should be no needy ones among us. And glad that we have this church family to serve God together with. We have a great opportunity with our Trunk or Treat coming up into this month to serve together. And it's a great blessing to our community to provide a safe place for our children of our community to come and to have fun, to celebrate, to get some candy. It's always a good time to get candy, is it not? Especially for kids. But last year was my first year back here, and man, we had hundreds of kids come through. And so the light is shining from this place, and so we need your cars. If you have a car, which I know most of you probably have at least two or three cars, if you could offer up one of them and decorate them, or two of them, or three of them, sign up in the back. I know putting your name on a line is kind of hard, but that's good for those who are planning to know what we can have those cars. We need about 20 cars at least, so we can have plenty of trunks and plenty of candy to meet the needs. And so please do that and make that plan October 28th, 5:30 or whatever the time is, 6 to 8. You have to be here a lot earlier if you bring your trunks. So, but that'll be a great time to celebrate, to be a service to the community. And guess what? It's a lot of fun. And if nothing else, you can have some candy too. So if that gets you there, I don't know what will. But no eating that candy till we get there. When that candy starts showing up, we need candy in that wagon, and I'll promise you I won't have a single bit of it. I'll walk past it. I'll resist. So if there's any candy missing, it wasn't me. Well, it is blessed to be called a disciple of Christ, is it not? It's a blessing that He saw it in mankind to call those to follow Him, to say, come, follow Me. And Him saying, come, follow Me, saying, I will make you fishers of men. And by a rabbi, the teacher, the Lord, saying, come, follow Me, saying, I believe in you, and I believe that you can be like Me, and you can do what I am doing. And what I'm doing is making disciples, and you also go and make disciples. And He gives the Great Commission, go and make disciples of all nations, that He gave His early disciples that commission, and as disciples who have been made disciples by other disciples, we carry on that same great commission. And there's no greater place, in my mind, where you can make disciples but in the context of the church. It's great to be a part of the body of Christ, and you cannot be the body by yourself. You are an awesome and needed part, but alone, you're missing out. In a way, we also are missing out from the blessings that you bring us. When someone becomes a part of the body, it is a great blessing what each one brings to make this a beautiful body of Christ as we serve together as disciples in this community and in this world. And we are compelled by the great love of Christ that He left His home in heaven, that He loved us and wanted to be united with us. As He's united with the Father, so He wants us to be united with Him and one with another. And we experience that in the context of the church. And we also, as a community that has been brought together, that we are, as we are committed, as we are compelled by His love, we are a community that has been called by God to be on mission. When you think about you receiving the call, go and make disciples of all nations. What is the context that's in your mind when you think of the nation, when you think of the world, when you think of your mission to be sent? God's plan is a universal plan. His plan is for all the world, all the ends of the world, to know of the love of Christ, to become His disciples, to become a part of His body. For God so loved what? The world. God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. In the Great Commission, He says, therefore, go and make disciples of which nations? All nations. And when He come when he returned, when he was resurrected and he returned to his disciples, and before he ascended into heaven and promised the giving of his Holy Spirit, he says, "But you, disciples, will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Samaria, and to all the ends of the earth." His plan is a universal plan. I think as believers and as Christians, as the body of Christ in this place, it's easy for us to kind of get the walls up in our mind and our context kind of limited, doesn't it? We think a lot about our own lives, our own families, our own church, our own community. It's good to think about beyond that, but God's plan is for all the world. And we need to have our hearts and our minds open in the same idea that God had. For God so loved the world. There is no one and no place that He does not want His love to reach. There is no place He does not care about. His passion is for all the world, and His compassion is for all the world to become His sons and His daughters. Jesus' mission includes the whole world. What is your mission? What does your calling include? I want to challenge us all. What is your mission? What is your mission field? And you may be called to this place, and I think we all are called to this place, to be committed to serve one another, to serve the community. But perhaps God is calling you, putting a passion and a compassion on your heart for a need that is on the other side of the world or an other place. And it's great that God's calling is that broad and that we can be a part of that. And we have a responsibility to be a part of that world mission. Yes, here, but also to the very ends of the earth. Paul, the Apostle Paul, he understood this mission very clearly. In Romans chapter 15, 17 and following, as he's wrapping up his great message to the Romans, his letter, he's wrapping up here in 15 and 16, and he says, listen to Paul's desire. I mean, Paul is one who has, he understood the world mission, and his calling was to the Gentiles, those who were outside of the Jewish nation. Understand that this message is for all, for those who are part of God's chosen people, the Jewish nation, but also for all to know, and that he's gonna give everything he can for that. And he travels to different places, and he establishes churches, and he writes letters, and he still has a concern to continue spreading the word out. And in Romans 15, verse 17, he says, "Therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak out anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done, and by the power and signs through the power of the Spirit of God. So, from Jerusalem all the way around to the Iconium, all of the known world, all the areas of the world that he was able to travel, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ." And listen, he says, "It has been, always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it is written, those who are not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand." And he goes on in Romans 16 as he's getting to the very end of his letter, after he's been given his greetings and his commendations for those who have been a blessing to him in his work. He wraps up and he says, listen to his understanding of this calling to the world that he gets to be a part of. And as we take on that calling, "Now to him who is able to establish you in accordance with my gospel, the message I proclaim to you about Jesus Christ, in keeping with the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all the Gentiles might come to the obedience that comes from faith. To the only wise God be glory forever through Christ Jesus. Amen." Can we not say amen with Paul? About that desire for all Gentiles and all the world to know, to hear the message that all will know, all will see, all will understand, and all will give their lives to Christ to the glory of God the Father. We've been called a called community to send the word out to all the world. I'm thankful for the universal church. Are you thankful for that the church is everywhere and not just here? Have you been blessed by the church that goes beyond just the church here? When you travel to other places and there's churches there, and there's churches in the community, and there's churches in the state, and as you go to around the other places of the world, have you been to a church on another part of the world, in another country? You experienced the body of Christ in other places? It is a great blessing. It has been a great blessing in my life, very formative in my Christian walk, especially being in a military family where we moved around a lot. But the one constant place that always was amazing is that everywhere we went, there was the body of Christ. You know, we left one body and we entered another body and another body, and the church was everywhere. And it was such a great blessing. You know, ending up in Montana, where went to Bible camp, and thinking, we're going to go to Bible camp, or who's going to be there? You know, that they were these kids from all these other churches from across the state that were part of this greater body of Christ that were meeting there. And then going to college at York College in Nebraska and thinking, well, who's going to be there? There's all these believers in the body of Christ from all these different places, from different parts of the country and different parts of the world. They're a part of this universal body of Christ, and the vision of God's plan and the love that was being spread and the mission to all the world. And then bringing it back down to the possibilities in my own life and my own context of what have I been called to do as the Word is, as disciples before me have been faithful of carrying this message out. I mean, think about God gave that calling to the disciples at the very beginning of the spread of the kingdom. And he says, I'm going to send your Spirit. It's going to go to Jerusalem, and it's going to go to Samaria, and it's going to go to all the ends of the earth. And it has gotten even all the way here to the northwest corner of the United States, right? Somehow it got here that they did it. They carried that. They carried through that universal plan. And I'm so thankful for that, that God's plan stretches to all the world, all the ends of the earth, and to all nations. And I think when we think about the world, we think about all people and all nations and all the need, do we desire that the love of God would be known in their lives? That Christ would come to bring peace into the lives of all the world? And that I might be called to do that? God has a compassion for all the world. You know, there are a lot of things going on in our even in our own neck of the woods, much less all the other parts of the world where there's such a desire, a need. Is there not people that are starving and people that are oppressed and people that are in war and that are in terror and that are in experiencing disasters? And there's such a need. But God has such a compassion, does He not, for all the world? And where does your compassion line up? When you see that need, how are you being called to respond to that? Well, we know that Jesus went throughout all Galilee teaching in the synagogues and preaching, and he preached the good news. And as He brought the good news, He also healed every sickness and every disease amongst the people. And when people asked about if Jesus was the one that has been talked about, this is what is said in Luke 7:22, and also it's recorded in Matthew 11. But Luke 7:22 says, "So He replied to His messengers, 'Go back and report to John what you've seen and what you heard. The blind have received sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me.'" God has passion and compassion for all the world to know. God's mission is for the whole world. That God's compassion is for the whole world. And so, as disciples today, God is still calling us as a community and calling us as individuals to respond to the call to go. We are called to go. When you hear about those disasters and those needs, what's your response? Are you compelled to go? And maybe some of you have gone and you respond. Maybe you've sponsored and you've supported those who have gone. We've prayed for some of those who have gone and responded. When you hear about the needs for water in certain places, are you compelled to want to go
and do something. You hear about the refugees or the homeless or whatever the crisis may be, are you compelled to go? Well, I heard a story of a young man, Jeremy Courtney. He was in college when 9/11 happened. Do you remember where you were when you heard about or saw the events of 9/11 on TV? When you saw those planes crashing in and all the questions of wondering what happened and who is this and where did this come from? And there was a great response from our nation to go and eradicate Islam. Was there not? But Jeremy Courtney, his heart was for the love of God to be known. And as a young man, he was compelled to go to Iraq. And he's been there for him. Now him and his wife and kids still currently live in Iraq to not eradicate, to not wipe out, because that's not God's desire, but yet to bring peace, to bring the gospel of Christ so that all the world, even Iraq, even the Muslim, even the radical, would respond to the love of Christ. Isn't that what Christ would do? Isn't that where he would go when he says ends of the earth? Is he not thinking about those ends of the earth? Were there not those ends of the earth in the time that he was living? Was there not radicals? Was there not terrorism? Was there not abuse? And was there not poor? Was there not? I mean, he was healing the poor and healing the sick. And he was responding. He says he wasn't leaving anybody out. And we could think, how could you do that? How could you go and live there? How could you move your family or have your kids raised there? He's compelled by the love of God. And he said in the interview that I listened to, he said, I have to demystify, you know, this a little bit. Yes, there's dangers, but the real danger is happening about 50 miles away from where I live. Well, if there's a war going on 50 miles away from here, that still seems pretty close to me. But for them, no, they have everyday life as most of where they're at, most of the conflict is 50 miles away. You know, here, we're thousands of miles away, so if anything's happened on any part of Iraq, it seems like all of it is just horrible and disastrous. And he's not belittling the danger. He says, yes, we do experience loss. We do sometimes have to protect ourselves, and there are shots being fired, and there are loved ones that we know of that have fallen. But yet, we have life. We've been called to this place. And we are experiencing the gospel being shared and being loved and being shared with our neighbors, with Muslims and with all different nationalities and all different people of different walks of life. They've been there to share life and love and the gospel. You know, living in Oklahoma, we kind of experienced some of this. Well, not the war that's going on, but the idea of how could you live in Oklahoma with all of the disastrous weather. You know, and in the 9 years that we lived there, anytime, you know, you get the national news and you see the hurricanes going, the bad storms going over that part of the country, especially when there was the really bad one that hit the Moore, Oklahoma. You guys heard about the Moore, Oklahoma tornado last 5 years ago or so? And yes, it was horrible. But when that was going through, you know, the storm was happening, and I'm sure the national coverage saw that all Oklahoma is bad. And my parents calling, are you guys okay? And we're like, yeah, we're like hundreds of miles away from that. You know, from a distance, it seems very horrible. On the ground, when you're close, we were carrying on life. We weren't affected at all. Our skies were blue, but a couple hundred miles away, they were experiencing real disaster. And there were lives that were lost, and there was hardship, and there was things that happened there. And in Moore, Oklahoma, that same path, the National Weather Service is based in Oklahoma. And, you know, following the weather it's always a big thing anywhere. I mean, who loves talking about the weather? Who likes watching the weather? Who likes that kind of stuff? You guys talk about it a lot. How's the weather in your neck of the woods? Well, I mean, it's a big culture there, watching storms. And we learned a lot about warm fronts and cold fronts and wall clouds and hail storms and what red means and blue and yellow and all the different warning signs and what we're supposed to do. And, you know, when the storms are coming, I mean, everyone kind of stopped what they're doing. It was kind of like it was game day.
You know, it was like Oklahoma game day, but it was like storm day, and everyone just watched the TV, got the popcorn, looked outside, and, you know, it was just a culture. And they had those things down to the very minute. And so you could be hundreds of miles away and be very safe. You could actually be 50 miles away and be very safe. You could actually be 10 miles away, and you might kind of take cover, but you'd still be safe. Now, my family at the time living in Montana and Leah's family living in California, I mean, thousands of miles away. I mean, oh, it's horrible. We're fine. We had to demystify that a little bit. Now, there was a risk. But yet, the people in Moore, Oklahoma, you know, that was the third time that a major tornado, third or fourth time, in almost the same exact path had hit. And those people were interviewed and saying, how can you continue to live there? How can you continue to build there? Just like that guy in Iraq said, how can you live there? And they both responded, because we've been called to live here. This is where we do life. This is where we share the love. This is where we are blessed. This is where our families are. This is where we've been called to be. God has called. He's called to go, to have compassion, and for the passion of all the world to know about Christ. When we pray, we should include the world mission in our prayers more often. I know I'm guilty of getting locked down in my own life, in my own community, in this body, and not thinking about the need in the world. But to really pray when we see the needs, to stop and pray that as that disaster is going on, as I see that on the television, whether it's war or terror or disaster or famine or whatever it may be, to pray that they would hear and know the love of God. The people would be at the hands and feet, and people are being the hands and feet in all those places for the gospel and the love to be shared. Pray for God's church and God's mission to reach all the world. To pray for God to call and perhaps even send us to go. And it's not an option. It's not an option for any of us to sit out of the work of the church on a local level or a worldly level. We're all called to have a part. And if we are part of the body, we've got to play our piece. And your piece may be to actually respond to that call to get up and go. And many do that. So we're called to go. And we may not just be called to go. And you may not say, well, I'm not called to go, but maybe perhaps you're called to give. You can support those who do go. And I know many that in here that probably do support those who are on mission or supporting those who are meeting the need for hunger or water or poverty or have maybe responded to the hurricane relief in Houston or the fire reliefs going on in our, you know, part of the world. And that's great to be a part of that. You know, it's blessed to know of people that have actually responded to that call. I've had friends that served in Japan for 5 years, and a couple of them live there now full time, spreading the gospel in Japan. I had a friend that served in Vanuatu, going to these islands that have never received the gospel. I mean, can you imagine going to a place that, you know, you hear those passages, to go where the gospel has never been heard or seen, where there is no churches, and that there are some places where that still exists, and they were part of that work of, you know, taking a boat to an island and going into the bushes and spreading the gospel. And to be able to support that and be a part of that. And to, you know, to meet their needs in some ways. You know, it's great that we get to be a part of some local missions here. And I'm so thankful for those here that lead us and that have the passion and compassion that have been called here through the clothing ministries, you know, that Deanne has led us in for so long, continue with the clothing pantry, the work that Dennis does. I mean, what a great heart there, and others before him that have carried on our benevolence work through, you know, food pantry and resources, and that we have a fund to help those who are in need in the body and also in our community. And that there's opportunities that he's getting into and partnering with other people, other groups in the community of providing food and providing resources. And that we can be, he's so called and passionate that we get to also join in that. You know, I think it's great that we have our website that Mark does. You know, that there are lessons, it blows my mind, I don't even think about it, that some of the things that I'm teaching and saying are being heard around the world. And that thousands and thousands are hearing the things that you're hearing. And have been hearing from Norm over the last, you know, so many years that he's been running the website and putting those on there.
You know, and thank you for those that we are involved in the world, but I want to call us all into that work. You know, we have our missionaries that we support that are not here. You see, in our bulletin, we're always taught to look at our bulletin, but do you stop and look at those missions that we support? You know, we support South Stotwell. You know, he runs a safety net ministry. Used to be in Oregon. Now I think he's in Arizona. And he does work to help ministers that are experiencing burnout or need some counseling. So he's part of that great mission of keeping guys and gals in the work. You know, and we sponsor him. We send him some money every month. You know, one of the other missionaries that we support is Daniel Hung down in San Francisco. And he's does a Chinese missionary, a mission. And he actually, more than just Chinese, the last letter I read of his work down there in San Francisco, they have people that speak 10 different languages in their church. I mean, Chinese and English and Spanish and Tagalog and English. And they're working in that area. But his work is not just in San Francisco, but he's part of a world mission through his local mission. He's been in the process for a long time of translating materials from English into Chinese, and he sends them over to Hong Kong. And guess what? We're a part of that. Through the giving that we give, through that money that's allocated every month, to be a part of that we're invested in the mission of the world through him. And also the Lifeline of Hope, that, you know, what a blessed ministry is. We've been involved with that, and you've been involved with that for a long time with financial blessings and the quilt ministries. And, you know, I think at one time it was just in Far East Asia where they had just a very few orphanages, and it started off as trying to be advocacy of perhaps, you know, getting adoptions going, and they still do that, but now they've branched over to 10 countries. Did you know they're in 10 countries with orphanages in, I mean, different places in the world, from South America and Asia and Eastern Europe, and they're still providing, you know, food and clothing and shelter and education and Bible and so many blessings, and that we get to be a part of that. You know, thankful for those who support the work of the church both locally and abroad. You know, when we hear about the different gifts in the body, and we see that recorded in lots of places, and in Romans 12 it mentions many gifts, and as you have these gifts, you know, you do them to your best ability. Paul talks about the gift of giving. If you have the gift of generosity, and I don't want to ever belittle that gift, some are blessed with that ability to give it generously. And he says in 2 Corinthians 8:7, he says, "But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in spirit, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving." And it's not just giving to give, giving for the purpose of the mission of God to be spread here in this place and being spread throughout all the world. You know, the work cannot be done without that answer to that call to give. You know, in 2 Corinthians 9:12 through 15, it says, "This service Paul is commending and encouraging the giving as supporting the church and the church in other places as they're getting this offering. It says, this service of giving that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but it is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God." It's both and. It's love of God and it's love of others. And as we show love of God, it's really showing the love of others. As we give to our neighbor and give to our community and give to the world, we're giving to God. "Because of the service by which you have proved yourself, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace of God has given you. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift." So you may be called to go, and we have to respond somehow to that great commission. You may be called to go. Bless, thank you for those who do respond to that and who respond to the call to give to those who go. And we are called to bring good news. Look at your hands for a minute. What do your hands do? What have they done today? What have they done this last week? What have they done in service to God and service to others? Now look at your feet. Where have your feet gone? Where have they taken you? Then you're like, oh, I don't want to look at my feet. Don't you dare look at my feet. But we read some scripture this morning, I'll read it again, about how beautiful are those feet that bring good news. In Isaiah 52, verse 7, I'll read this Romans passage in a second, but Isaiah 52, this is where Paul quotes from. He says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. And Romans and Paul, then he quotes from there, saying, for there is no difference between Jew or Gentile. The same Lord is Lord over all, and richly blesses all who call on his name. For everyone who calls on his name, the name of the Lord, will be saved. But how can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? And as it is written, as the prophet Isaiah has said, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Think about those who have brought you good news, who have had the love and passion to share the good news of Christ with you. Do they not have beautiful feet? Think about those who have had compassion on your life, who has blessed you, has filled you, has healed you, has provided for you. Are not their feet so beautiful? Who have brought you that love and that compassion and that great desire that all the world and even you to know of the love of Christ, and that even you can be a son and daughter of the King. I'd like for you to stand right now. I'm going to lead us in an invitation, but I'd like for us all to stand as I give this invitation. I want to ask you, what is your mission? What is your passion? What is God calling you to do? Have you genuinely told God that you would submit to His will in His calling of you? Right now, would you ask God to change anything that you need to change? Maybe God is asking you to pursue a life that's in a different place, to go to one of those places. It may be a terrifying thought, but we have to trust God. We have to, more than we trust ourselves, to give up of ourself, maybe give up of our location, give up of our priorities, give up of some of our wealth to answer this call. God has blessed you to use whatever gift it is to His glory and not your own. God's plan will perhaps lead you to places that you would not normally go, would lead you to do things that you would not naturally want to do. I want you to take a minute and pause and ask God what He wants for your life. Ask Him to break through any excuses you may be hiding behind or idols that you may be clinging to. Ask Him to make you willing to follow Him in whichever direction He might lead you. Take a minute and ask God what He may be calling you to do. God is calling you to go. He is calling you to give. And He's calling you to bring good news to the world. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, and I'm asking Him, therefore, send these workers out into the harvest field. Will you answer that call and go as we stand and sing?